Many farmers who raise animals for meat are actually underlings of large corporations who tell them what to do and how to do it. In this situation, the farmer must carry out corporate instructions on how many animals they will raise, what they will be fed, and when they will be slaughtered. Some farmers find this difficult and, at some point, unacceptable. Welcome to Mothering Earth, your source for sustainable living news. I'm Salwa Khan. Some of those farmers have discovered they can ditch the corporations and, instead of growing animals for slaughter, grow fresh vegetables, fruits, hemp, or mushrooms. They can make a good living and leave behind the multiple cruelties and suffering of animals raised for meat, as well as the problem of having to deal with disposing of enormous amounts of animal waste, which pollute land, air, and water. A program called Transformation helps those farmers with grants and resources. That's Transformation, not Transformation. Transformation is a project by the organization called Mercy for Animals, which is a global nonprofit animal advocacy organization. I wanted to find out more about how and why a farmer in Iowa or Indiana or anywhere in the U.S. would make such a change. So I spoke with Catherine Jernigan, the Farmer Outreach Manager for the Transformation Project. I asked her about the work of Mercy for Animals.
Our primary work is conducting undercover investigations of factory farms and slaughterhouses, working with corporations to create animal welfare policies, and raising public awareness about animal suffering in the food system. So I came to work with Mercy for Animals through the Transformation Project. My background is in environmental studies and sustainable food systems, and I've always had a passion for the outdoors, you know, protecting the planet. And my studies took me to agriculture because I loved cooking and eating, and I loved being outside, and I saw that there's a huge connection between how food is produced and environmental impacts. So when I heard about the Transformation Project, it very much felt like there's this concept in the climate movement of find your own front line, meaning find an area in the movement that you can work where you can apply your skills. And so at the time I was working to educate people on how to grow food sustainably. I heard about Transformation. It's a project that works very closely with farmers near where I grew up in South Carolina. And it was just an amazing opportunity for me to put my skills in sustainable agriculture to use in working with farmers directly.
Catherine, to clarify, Transformation is a play on the word transformation because that's really what these farmers are doing. They're shifting their farms completely away from one way of farming and into something new. But how did the Transformation Project come about?
Transformation was created in a very beautiful way. It was an unlikely friendship between our founder, who's now the president of Mercy for Animals, Leah Garces, and an industrial poultry farmer, Craig Watts. They met when Craig was experiencing a lot of turmoil about what was happening on his farm. And they kind of put their heads together and said, well, Craig is not the only farmer experiencing this. You know, the farmers in the poultry industry, they have very little autonomy over how their farms are run. They basically own the waste products from the animals and the debt from installing the buildings, and the meat industry, or what we call the integrator. So that's the company that they contract with. The integrator is controlling everything from providing the animals, providing the feed, dictating how long those animals, you know, are raised, coming to pick them up for slaughter. And the farmer has very few decisions that they can make. So Leah heard Craig's story and they put their heads together and said, what else can we do? And Transformation was started from that idea of, we know that industrial animal farming is bad for the planet, it's bad for the people within the system, and it's definitely bad for the animals. But what is another pathway? What can these farmers grow, you know, to get out of this industry?
You're listening to Mothering Earth. I'm Salwa Khan. I'm here today with Catherine Jernigan, the Farmer Outreach Manager for the Transformation Project. Tell us about what you do in your job.
So my job is to work directly with farmers enrolled in our program to help them make that switch from factory farming or industrial animal agriculture into farming plants or, in some cases, mushrooms. We also, a big part of my job is to create resources for other farmers to use. So whether they're enrolled in our program or not, those resources are available for free through our websites. We've got two websites, thetransformationproject.org and farmertoolkit.org. So my job is to see the farmers through the transition and then write down everything they did, publish the resources that we create so that other farmers can do the same.
So these farmers are switching to growing plants, which also has importance for the health of the planet. Is that right?
Well, we know that factory farming is a major contributor to environmental degradation. It's a significant source of greenhouse gas emissions. It's a leading cause of biodiversity loss, water pollution. And globally, the system is relying on large-scale deforestation to support its operations. So we're actually cutting down forests in order to graze more animals, which is further amplifying the negative impact on our planet. So to kind of paint the picture, it takes about 10 times the amount of water to produce a pound of chicken than it does to produce a pound of strawberries. And half of the world's habitable land is used for agriculture, mostly to raise livestock for dairy and meat. And it takes 100 times more land to produce a kilocalorie of beef than a plant-based alternative. So if we shifted to eating plant-based diets, we would reduce global land use for agriculture by 75%. And so beyond the environmental impact on a global scale, there's also a local environmental impact. So this industry hugely impacts nearby residents, and that is extremely alarming. Rural communities, and particularly communities of color, endure air and water pollution due to runoff and waste from these farms. This pollution can compromise their health and lower their quality of life. And the combination of these health and environmental problems from these farms really drive a pressing need for change. And, you know, that's not even counting the animals within the system that, you know, some of these farms are having millions of animals per year come through their farms. And so as consumers, we have the opportunity to make decisions about the food that we eat, and we can make that decision three times a day. So, you know, even if you're not making the decision to eat plant-based three times, you know, maybe try it out one time, see what happens, because even reducing from one meal can have a massive impact.
How do you find the farmers who want to move from animal-based to plant-based agriculture?
People might be surprised to hear that all of the farmers that we work with currently have reached out to us. So they mostly find us through word of mouth or through our website. We have a contact form on our website. There's a tab, Get Involved. And we've actually heard from over 100 farmers who are, you know, farming on an industrial scale that want to make this transition. We often hear from them, I wish I had started this sooner. I wish your resources had been here 10 years ago. So we know that the demand is there. Once you start working with one farmer, kind of word spreads, and that's exactly what happened. But every farmer that's working with us has contacted us. We hear from farmers around the world as well. We're currently only working with farmers in the U.S., but we have heard from many different states. I will say they tend to be concentrated in the Southeast and the Midwest, where poultry farming and pig farming is mostly located. But we have heard from people all over.
Are most of these people in poultry farming to begin with, or any of them raising cattle?
Really everything across the board. Poultry, both animals raised for meat and layers. Also dairy farmers, beef grazing cattle, and then pig farmers as well.
You're listening to Mothering Earth. I'm Salwa Khan here with Catherine Jernigan, Farmer Outreach Manager for the Transformation Project. What are some of the plant crops that these farmers grow to replace animal agriculture?
That's a great question. So that was a big, you know, thing we wanted to look at when we first started the Transformation Project. because we wanted to provide farmers with a solution that they could still, you know, make a living, potentially service the debt they have from exiting something like the poultry industry, which can be often in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, and also something that there's going to be demand for. So we want to advise farmers on growing something that people are going to buy. But really, once you get past those few things, the sky is the limit. You know, there's hundreds of thousands of species of edible plants, and we only cultivate a very, very small percentage of that. And so we've worked with farmers who have transitioned to specialty mushroom farming. So those are mushrooms like shiitake, oyster mushrooms, lion's mane. We've worked with farmers who have transitioned to greenhouse crops, and, you know, greenhouses can grow anything from lettuces, beets, melons, tomatoes, peppers, squash, chard, kale, microgreens. Sky's the limit there. And then we've also worked with farmers who have integrated kind of other components into their farm, whether that's through what we call agritourism. So having visitors come to the farm, hosting events potentially, or they can grow things like flowers. There's opportunities for agroforestry, so growing trees on the property. It's really a blank canvas, and it really comes down to what the farmer is interested in, what they can make money off of, and if there's going to be potential buyers. But we recently completed a big project that we're calling our demonstration hub. And this is a site in North Carolina where we converted a 450-foot by 50-foot poultry house. And I used to farm chickens, millions of chickens a year. And now it's a 300-foot by 50-foot greenhouse growing all kinds of variety of fruits and vegetables. So really, the sky is the limit there.
You use the word specialty. What does that refer to?
And that's a word I would love for people to know more about, because it can sound a bit scary with specialty crops and, you know, something that's niche and something new and unique. But actually, the USDA uses the word specialty crops to define fruits and vegetables. And so when you look at the funding, you know, from the government going into different parts of the food system, there's a very small percentage going to specialty crops. And that's actually where all fruits and vegetables, tree nuts, mushrooms, even flowers, that's all falling under this category of specialty crops. So the majority of the farmers we're working with have transitioned to growing specialty crops for human consumption. And that's a market, you know, we talk a lot about like the plant-based industry growing, but it's also important to note that the specialty crop market is growing too. And so, yeah, I really encourage people to look at ways that they can connect with farmers that are growing these specialty crops, which are fruits and vegetables. Fancy way of saying fruits, vegetables, nuts, mushrooms.
I've never been a farmer, so obviously I don't know the many challenges farmers face, but I'm thinking that changing your whole way of making a living has got to be scary. I mean, while you're working for a corporate meat producer, it has huge drawbacks, but there's some level of stability. So, Catherine, why are the farmers taking the risk of making such a big change?
Yeah, I often hear this from folks, like, this is a really big step. This is a lot of change. And I think it can be helpful to contextualize that farming is an extremely dynamic industry. A lot of farmers are very used to change and adapting to change. And over generations, farmers have always been shifting. It can be interesting to look at other periods of big farm transitions in our country. You know, for example, a few decades ago, tobacco was a huge crop. And if anywhere you drove in the Southeast, you know, like where I grew up in South Carolina, driving down those roads, you just see these massive tobacco fields. And now driving those same roads, you're not seeing it so much. So once it became recognized as a threat to health, and combined with programs like the tobacco buyout program, farmers very quickly transitioned to growing other things. So that tells me we know that a shift is possible, and shifting from animal agriculture at an industrial scale into crop production is actually not so different. The farmers are very used to doing DIY projects. They're very scrappy. They're very innovative. And oftentimes they're very eager to do what's best for their families and communities. And they're motivated to make that change because of the current contract system that I mentioned earlier, where they have so little autonomy over how their farm is actually run. And those contracts are so powerful that the farmers are eager to try something where they actually have control over what they're doing.
What is the process for selecting farmers for the project? What do you look for in the person and their situation?
Well, firstly, they need to be industrial animal farmers. So sometimes we use the word CAFO, concentrated agriculture, concentrated animal feeding operations, or sometimes the word factory farming. So these are farmers that are farming animals at a large scale. And we strategically work with these farmers because the sheer scale of their operations, like I mentioned, it's often in the millions of animals per year. And it can be incredibly impactful to transition even one of those farms. Beyond the actual infrastructure that they have, we look for farmers who are ready to make that change. They need to have some ideas about where they want to go, what's their inspiration, what's their motivator. You know, is it that they're looking, as I mentioned, and to your last question, are they looking to make a change, do something better for their family, for their community? And then it's really good if they come to us with a vision of what their ideal farm would look like, because once they have kind of that idea, we can offer them sort of an array of options for how to get there.
So you offer them options, but who designs the plan for the transition?
It's mostly farmer-led. We see it as a partnership. So the farmer is truly the designer. We have blueprints and resources from farmers who have done it before or from our research. We can kind of present those to the farmer, but ultimately it's the farmer who's going to select the path and go down it. Along the way, we provide the farmers with technical assistance. So that's both on the growing side of, okay, I want to grow strawberries. How do I actually do that? But also the business side, to have a successful farm, to have a sustainable farm in the long term, you have to have a successful business. So we also provide business assistance with planning and, you know, creating their business plan, mapping out what they're going to need to make it happen. And we also do outreach to identify potential buyers of their new crop. So looking at where they're located geographically and seeing where they could potentially sell whatever crop they're looking to transition to. And then in some cases, we provide direct funding through our research and innovation grant program. So that is a grant that's available to transitioning farmers to kind of get them started on a pilot project. And so in addition to that funding, we can also help farmers identify if they're eligible for state-funded grants, if they might be eligible for some federal cost-share programs, those kinds of things.
You're listening to Mothering Earth. I'm Salwa Khan here with Catherine Jernigan. She's the Farmer Outreach Manager with the Transformation Project. And within this project, you've got different levels of involvement for farmers. Tell us about those levels.
We have what we call Transformation Allies. And these are farmers who are interested in transformation. They support transformation, but they might not be able to make that transition yet. For example, someone might have extremely high debt that's limiting their options in the short term, but they can still work with us to advocate for alternatives. We often have farmers work with us to, you know, talk with legislators about why funding for programs like ours are needed, you know, at scale. And then also, if you're a farmer who's supportive of transformation, if you're an ally, you can also work with other farmers in your area, share resources with them. And then also in that category, we've got academics, business owners, volunteers who support our mission and are willing to work with us, be it on research, policy initiatives, on projects. And then the next level from that would be grant recipients. So that would be our research and innovation grant program. So farmers who have an idea for a pilot project, they're ready to make that transition, but maybe the one hurdle blocking their way is the financial component. So these grants offer up to $15,000 to really catalyze an on-farm project for a new crop. And then what we call cohort farmers, those are farmers who are basically enrolled in our program. We're working hand in hand to complete a full farm transition. And we provide those farmers with the technical assistance. We help them apply for a research and innovation grant or other funding they might be eligible for. I'm very excited to share about our newest level, which is called demonstration hubs. And that's like the project I mentioned in North Carolina. These hubs are essentially a center for research and education and for visitors to come, and they highlight the potential for a profitable and sustainable farm transition. So it's really a full-scale transition. It provides a model for other farmers can make that shift, and it also showcases, you know, innovative and environmentally friendly agricultural practices.
And how long can these transitions take?
My role, I've seen farmers grow a new crop within 6 months and never look back. And I've also seen some farmers spend years, you know, really in the planning stage, going very slowly. So ultimately, it's subjective. It depends on the farm. But I would say a farmer can plan on spending 3 to 5 years to where they're fully transitioned to something that is vibrant. It's sustainable from a financial standpoint and an ecological standpoint. And yeah, that they're, you know, stable and making a stable profit, I'd say 3 to 5 years.
Everyone loves success stories. So let's hear some of those.
I will share a couple of my favorites. We've worked with the Halley Farm in Texas. This was a family raising over 1 million chickens per year, and they transitioned to growing hemp. They also started a dog rescue, and then they expanded to also rescuing donkeys. They have really amazing work. We've been honored to work with them. We've also worked with the Faborg family. They have a farm called 1100 Farm in Iowa. It was recently featured in the New York Times, and this family was growing 8,000 pigs per year. And those pigs have now left the farm and they've transitioned fully to growing specialty mushrooms. And they've planted all these trees on their property, and they just have a really beautiful vision for ways to include visitors to the farm, you know, do trainings for other farmers to see what they're doing. And it's really just super cool to see in person, and they have a lot of photos and things online you can check out as well. But then another story that I love is the Hamilton family. They're in Indiana, and they transitioned from dairy farming into growing mushrooms. And it's very much an example of someone who is really innovative. The Hamiltons, Paula Hamilton was a trained nurse. And so she's been able to use her skills with sterile environments, her attention to detail, into actually stages of the mushroom production where, you know, you're using a very sterilized environment to grow the spawn for the mushrooms. And so it's just a great example of how farmers are super innovative. They use their existing skills and they're very creative.
I was wondering whether any of the farmers who have moved from meat production to growing plants have changed their own diets.
I love that question, because that is something that I do see as well, that, you know, I find fascinating. We have farmers who stop purchasing industrial farmed meat, of course, or we have some farmers who are vegan, vegetarian. But yes, I do think they're over time, you know, making the transition, those same connections are made, you know, between how food is produced and what ends up on the plate. And that's definitely not the goal of our project, you know, to change the diets of specific farmers. But it's awesome to see that is happening.
For the farmers who have made this pretty dramatic change, do they think it was worth it?
Well, they often talk about the freedom that they have, the decision making, you know, they can now do on their farm. They talk about how they're no longer harming their local community. But I think one of the most powerful things a farmer has told me is Craig Watts. He was the farmer that inspired the creation of the Transformation Project. And he says that it's really more than a transformation of the farm. It's also a transformation of the soul. And it's really evident, you talking with him, talking with other farmers, that they're feeling more personally fulfilled because they have, you know, this autonomy on their farm. They can act as stewards of the land. Ultimately, I think that's what farmers want to do. They want to farm and they want to feed people. And so if we're able to help make that happen in a way that is ecologically sustainable, you know, that's what we're here to do.
What are some of your observations in working with the farmers on their transitions?
Well, so I'm really lucky in my role because I actually get to be on site working with the farmers. And so I get to see the before. So when the farmers are farming animals, they're extremely stressed. They've got all this waste to deal with. And then I'm able to see them through that process and see the end product, you know, where they're in a position like Tom Lim, who's our demonstration hub farmer, where they have a clean and beautiful site. They're growing fresh produce. They might be like the Faborgs and planting trees along their property and really transitioning what was nearly a hazardous waste site into a beautiful, thriving farm that visitors can come and enjoy fresh air and fresh produce. So what I would love to accomplish is to help farmers see that end product, you know, show them what they can get to and help them get there. So help those farmers lay out the plan and implement it and really see that change is possible, empower them that they can do it too, whether it's through hearing from other farmers or using some of our resources. But ultimately, you know, as an organization, we do believe that a just and sustainable food system is possible, and we want to work with the farmers to build it. And another thing I would just add to that is that the farmers that have made the transition are often incredibly energized to help others. And there can be so much community and camaraderie and in farming and growing food and connecting with eaters, you know, through farmers markets and things like that. And so we're really trying to build momentum both among farmers and above and among those people that purchase products from farmers. And really, we do see transformation as a movement. So it's more than just these individual farm transitions, but we're trying to build momentum towards our vision for a just and sustainable food system. You can read more about the farmers we've worked with on our website, thetransformationproject.org, and also through our social media. We're always very eager to share the farmer stories.
There are a lot of great stories about farmers on the Transformation Project website, but also a lot of resources that farmers can use in making the transition. For example, there are detailed guides on how to design and build environments to grow mushrooms or to grow strawberries or hemp. There's information on where farmers can look for possible marketing opportunities and how to prepare foods for sale. This has been Mothering Earth on Transformation. Thanks to our guest, Catherine Jernigan, who's Farmer Outreach Manager for the Transformation Project. And thanks so much to you for listening. Mothering Earth is also on Instagram at mothering_earth, and our website is mothering-earth.com. Until next time, this is Salwa Khan signing off for Mothering Earth, your source for sustainable living news. The views and opinions expressed on Mothering Earth do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of this station.